Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Freedom and generosity, I guess they're the two words underlying this series that we're doing on simple living with Ron Sider. By living simply, we break free from debt and materialism and the burden of keeping up with the Joneses. And by living simply, we can be generous to those whom God has a special heart for, the poor. We've explored what the Bible says about wealth. We've looked at practical ways to resist consumerism and spend less. Next week, we're going to be looking at how to evaluate aid organizations to actually donate to. But tonight, we're talking about living simply through communal and community living. Ron Sider is with us again. He's our guide in the simple lifestyle. Welcome once again, Ron.
Great to be with you.
Let's start with this term, Christian community. One of the statements in your book that I've underlined, that's Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger, is this, I quote, "The church should consist of communities of loving defiance, not comfortable clubs of conformity." Now, just define loving defiance for me, and how do you think the contemporary church is going when it comes to building communities with that kind of characteristic?
Well, I think that we should defy what's sinful in the culture. And I think that there's a huge dose of materialism and consumerism in the culture, and that biblical Christians ought to say, we're not going to do that. We're going to live differently. The defiance, I think, should be gentle but clear. It should be loving but vigorous. And so I do use the word defiance, but I don't want that to be a harsh attack, but rather a genuine love for the people involved, as we call them to a better way that's more, finally, more fulfilling.
And how successful do you think the contemporary church is at building those kinds of communities of loving defiance?
Well, I think it's tragically unsuccessful. I think that the temptation through the centuries has been to conform to the culture, and I think that the contemporary church is doing that at least as much as the church historically. I'm tempted to say that it's doing it more. The materialism in the church is really not a lot less than the materialism in the broader culture.
Yeah. What is the essence of Christian community then? How do we know that we are experiencing true community that starts to become, you know, groups of loving defiance, rather than simply, you know, being a part of a meeting or some sort of home group?
Well, I think several things. I think, first of all, we need to have an understanding that Jesus' kingdom values are sharply different at important points from the values of our contemporary world. And that therefore, if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to be a counterculture. We're going to be a community that is self-consciously living differently from the surrounding society precisely because we're committed to Jesus and his kingdom and the values of that kingdom. So a clear countercultural stance is one crucial part of it. I think a second part is an understanding that being brothers and sisters in Christ means really watching over one another in love, as John Wesley used to put it. It means that we understand that we need the support of the brothers and sisters in order to live as differently from the world as Jesus calls us to. I think that it's just impossible sociologically for individual Christians to really follow Jesus in the kind of crazy societies that we have in the modern world. Mm. We need the support of brothers and sisters. We need the strength that they provide. We need the challenge that they bring when questions are raised because we're struggling. So it's a community of accountability, and we know it's there when other brothers and sisters do, in fact, challenge us in loving kinds of ways and say, what about this? You know, are you really sure that that's what Jesus wants you to do?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that level of accountability, or even accountability in general, is probably the one mark that a lot of our small groups in our churches probably don't quite get to. We'll get to sharing feelings and then, you know, sharing prayer points for each other, but actually getting to the point where we can lovingly call each other up and say, hang on a sec, have you thought more about this? That's a little bit more rare, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Paul said in Galatians 6 that the brothers and sisters are supposed to restore a person who is caught in a sin. And restore that person gently. He says we ought to carry each other's burdens. We ought to watch over each other. And that means a genuine level of understanding in the community that that's what we do for each other. You know, if you go into a small group with a radically individualistic understanding that all we're going to do is share personal feelings and nobody, you know, challenges anything, then of course, you know, you're not really talking about a Christian community. You're talking about just a individualistic collection of persons sharing the feelings.
Yeah.
But if you have an understanding that being the church means being accountable to each other, wanting the other brothers and sisters to gently but clearly call us to change, to live more like Jesus, challenge us to, in fact, turn away from sin when they sense that's coming on the horizon. You know, if we go in with that understanding, then we can be a genuine Christian community of accountability.
Mm. Ron Sider is with us. We're talking about simple living. Ron, you've gotten around a lot of churches over the years. You've researched Christian community. Paint us a picture of true Christian community. What have you seen and what have you experienced?
Well, I mean, I think the overwhelming situation is one of just individualism. But I think that there are places where small groups have begun to be serious. You know, I was in a Christian community for a while where we actually, in our small group, shared our income tax returns every year.
Hmm.
We talked about how much money we made and where we spent it. We didn't dictate to each other what we should do. Every family, you know, was clearly understood to be free to do what it felt God was calling that family to do. But we felt that talking about that together would help us get perspective, strengthen the resolve that we all had to be more generous and share more with others.
Mm. Let's look at this idea of a commune then, which is kind of taking the whole Christian community concept another step further, where whole families actually live together and share resources. Have you ever experienced a commune?
I have never lived in a community where there was a common purse. In the Christian community that I talked about, we did some economic sharing. We shared cars, and we would do babysitting back and forth. We lived close to each other. There were five different families in our block, so we could easily, you know, share a number of things. But it was not a common purse. I know a few communities of that sort. Most of those that were around in the 70s and 80s have, in fact, disappeared. But here and there is one that still thrives. I think it's one legitimate way to implement the fact that to be brothers and sisters in Christ means to be part of one body, and that means economic sharing.
Mm.
That's not negotiable. But how we do the economic sharing, it seems to me, is negotiable. I don't even think that, you know, a common purse is the best way for most Christians to experience genuine Christian community and genuine economic sharing. But it's certainly one perfectly valid way.
And like you mentioned, you know, many of the experiments in the Christian communes did kind of disintegrate after a while. Have you seen a model of a Christian commune that is healthy, that does endure?
Well, I mean, the Jesus People USA in Chicago are one example. They've been going, they came out of the Jesus movement, in the late 60s, early 70s, and they've been a fairly large community in a poor neighborhood doing all kinds of wonderful evangelism and social action, and they, in fact, share a common purse. So they exist. Catholic orders are certainly another example.
I wonder, though, with us talking about community and communal living and those kinds of things and the various models that they can take form, because individualism has so kind of, I guess, entrenched us in our Western community, you know, we're lonely, we're isolated, in many cases we're lacking victory over temptation in all its many forms, there'll be a whole bunch of people listening to us who are saying, well, I don't even know the first step towards experiencing what you're talking about. I've got no idea how to even start. Even when it comes to being a part of a small group, how can I actually take it to a point where it really is true community, really sharing, even to the point of keeping each other accountable? Where does someone start to actually take their life more deeply into community?
You know, in the chapter, In Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger, on this topic, I try to suggest different ways that we can, in fact, move toward that. And I would say, for anybody who has that basic question, talk to the pastoral leadership, help the congregation to study more carefully what the New Testament taught about the nature of the body of Christ and the communal character of that and the mutual accountability and the economic sharing, and then encourage that congregation to have an ongoing dialogue, a time of prayer and searching the will of the Spirit, in which one says, how can we in fact, for, in a way that's appropriate to this setting, experience a much deeper level of Christian community. And the non-negotiables, I would think, would be that you develop small groups that really begin to ask the hard questions of each other and challenge each other to really grow. Those hard questions ought to include discussion about big economic decisions. Do you buy this new car or that new house or that expensive vacation? You know, I think we can begin to take the steps and move in that direction and trust the Lord to, in fact, guide us step by step.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about the economic sharing aspect of living simply, and we need to then ask the question, well, who do we give to and how do we give to and who through? And that's what we'll explore next week. Ron Sider, author of The Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger, the seminal work there really about simple living, and our guide to the simple lifestyle.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.